Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate today. All right, now that we are all together, gathered for a bit of warmth and an otherwise very chilly Christmas Eve, I am hoping you can settle a long-standing debate in my family. The best Christmas tree topper, angel or star? Now, before answering, might be good to note that this custom was started in Germany in the mid to late 1800s, and over the last 150 years or so, all kinds of things have been set atop our trees. Santa, Santa's hat, reindeer, a miniature ice skate, college and professional sports teams' pennants, national flags, especially during wartime, a tiny Christmas village, and more. Last year, gnomes were all the rage. And this year, the trend-setting tree topper is a velvet bow. But across all those years, angels and stars have been by far the most popular. So I'm curious, and a quick show of hands will suffice, how many of you adorn the top of your tree with a star? And how many with an angel? Ooh, pretty close. I'm going to guess, though, it looks to me like stars hold the day, and so we're actually bucking the national and historic trend, as not only was a gold foil angel called a Rauschgoldangel the original tree topper in Germany, but angels actually remain the most popular today. And while I personally favor a star also, I get that. Because while only one star appears in the Christmas story, the one that guides the Magi to Bethlehem, there are four distinct stories of angels in the Christmas narrative that we've been reading here across Advent. The angel Gabriel figures in two of these scenes, first visiting old Zechariah with the news that he and his wife Elizabeth will conceive and give birth to John the Baptist. Then visiting Mary to inform her that she will bear the Son of God. An unnamed angel appears to Joseph in a dream, directing him to take pregnant Mary as his wife. And as we heard tonight, an angel appears to shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, sharing the good news of the birth of the Messiah, commanding them to go to Bethlehem, and then singing of God's favor to the world. Angels are literally all over, everywhere in the Christmas story. Little wonder then that they not only adorn our Christmas trees, but also are the primary subject, after the baby Jesus, of course, of so many of our Christmas carols. Hark the herald angels sing, angels we have heard on high, angels from the realms of glory, the first Noel that the angels did sing, and more. For all these reasons, we love angels. We imagine them as beautiful and strong and musical and radiant, heralds of goodwill and peace and all things calm and bright. And they are. But as we've been reading about angels this Advent season and heard their story once again tonight, it occurred to me that while the angels may appear in different forms to different people and under very different circumstances, their message and mission is uniformly the same: to inspire courage in those they visit. In each of the four stories just referenced, the first words out of the angel's mouth are the same: do not fear. I don't think this is some pat angelic formula or merely simple words of encouragement, but rather are an acknowledgement that the people being visited by angels, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, have good reason to be afraid. So the angels come bearing good news, yes, but before those they visit can hear and believe that news, they need to confront and overcome their very real fears. I don't think we're all that different. Christmas is a time of joy and laughter, gladness, nostalgia, and anticipation for sure. And it is also a time when feelings of grief and loneliness peak, long-buried wounds resurface, and depression rates skyrocket, all signs of the fear and anxiety that impart and parcel of our lives. Which is why the angelic word to us is the same as it was to Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds so long ago. Do not fear. Take heart. I am with you, for you, always. This is the heart of the angel's song and the promise of Christmas, that God did not choose to stay up in heaven, wagging a finger of warning or cheering us on at a distance, but instead came to us, became one of us, took on our lot in our life in the form of this helpless infant, so that we can trust that we are never alone and thereby find courage sufficient to the challenges of the day. So perhaps you are full of joy this evening, or mourning the loss of a loved one. Perhaps you are filled to overflowing with a sense of contentment, or fear you've settled for far too little. Perhaps you feel better than ever, or are still reeling from a recent and difficult diagnosis. Perhaps you look forward to all that the new year will bring, or wonder with a sense of dread whether you'll get into college or what you'll do in retirement or more. Or perhaps, and I suspect this is the case with most of us, perhaps you're a mix of all these things, hopeful yet anxious, reasonably happy, but also too often and sometimes inexplicably sad, surrounded by people you know and love, and also kind of lonely. Whatever condition or state you are in, hear again the words of the angels addressed to the shepherds and to us. Do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day a Savior, the Messiah, Christ the Lord, all for you. The Reverend Eric Milner White was familiar with the need for courage. In fact, in some ways, it defined his entire career. A decorated military chaplain during the First World War, he then served as dean of the chapel at King's College in Cambridge, England. Early in his tenure there, and amid the desolation left after the end of World War I, Milner White felt that the people he served needed a source of comfort, hope, and courage. And so he arranged Christmas readings and hymns to form what would soon come to be called a service of 9 lessons and carols. It gained popularity in and around Cambridge, was first aired on the BBC in 1928, and has been performed and broadcast every year since. In fact, it was broadcast on our public radio station this morning at 9 in the morning, and now you can stream it anytime you want. Near the end of his tenure at Cambridge, Milner White again found the need to share the courage of the Christ child. The year was 1940, and England was nearly alone in standing against Nazi domination, with bombs falling every day on London during the Blitz that autumn, and with a dismal and cheerless Christmas approaching. Milner White put pen to paper and wrote a prayer that has inspired Christians ever since, with the promise that in Christmas, in Jesus, we see Emmanuel, the God who is with us. It has become known as the Prayer of Good Courage. And while we at Mount Olivet have been saying it together at the end of our worship service since the early days of the pandemic, it has since become, for many of us, an important sending prayer as we depart our sanctuary believing that we are called and accompanied by the God we know most fully in the Christ child, going out, sent out into what sometimes can be a fearful world. Many of you have likely committed these words to memory. For some of you, it will sound just familiar, and for others, it may be entirely new. If you can, pray it with me now, or simply listen, and hear in this prayer the angel message again. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds, and now you and me, all of us, living in states of hope and fear, confidence and dread, optimism and uncertainty. And so for this reason, the angels come to us still, just as we are, wherever we may be, in order to help us confront and overcome our fears so that we may believe the good news that Jesus was born, lived, died, and raised again so that we can live with hope, confidence, and courage. So do not be afraid this night, this year, or ever. For unto you a child has been born, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ the Lord, and you will never be alone again. Merry Christmas.